What's up, everybody? It's Lee. You guys might know me as Intuition, and you're listening to Kinda Neat. Thank you again for tuning in. Of course, it is always appreciated. You guys can help us out by going and subscribing to us on iTunes. If you're listening to this on the website right now, kindaneat.net, feel free to just like download the podcast app to your phone, search for it, fucking press subscribe. That helps us. And it's very low maintenance chore. Is not a lot of work. You can also subscribe to us on Stitcher. You can find us on Twitter at That's Kinda Neat. You can find my man Ben Shim behind the boards making the shit sound buttery at I Am Database, base with two S's. You can find me at It's Intuition. You can find us as a unit at That's Kinda Neat. This morning I woke up to the sweetest text message from Verbs, but it wasn't directly from him. He took a screenshot of someone's Tumblr. Of a Tumblr post, and it is a pretty young lady going, obsessing over Intuition right now. He's honestly one of the funniest fucking dudes. His podcast with Blockhead had me dying, especially the part where he goes, virgin at 11, psh, what a nerd. He's my dream man. And then she gave a little crying sad face. I don't know why she made a crying sad face. I'm out here. I'm available. Yeah, that was like such a sweet text message, and I just wanted to like brag for a second, I guess. So thanks, Verse, for sending me that. You made my morning. Thank you to the girl that posted it. It's very sweet. It's strange. It is a strange phenomenon to think that saying some dumb shit on a microphone sometimes can make girls think that I am your dream man, because I'll tell you, I'm probably not. But anyways, that brings me to like some weird shit that I tweeted about last night. I find it so strange nowadays when like people want to add me on Facebook, like my personal Facebook. Like I stopped adding people on Facebook a long time ago. So I, like comparatively to other rappers or personalities or whatever, I probably have a lot fewer friends on Facebook because it got to a point where I was like, ugh, I don't need to like have all these random strangers trying to message me and chat with me at fucking 11 at night or 1 in the morning. Like I'm just on here looking at what my real friends are saying. And so like I love the people that interact with me on Facebook on the fan page, which is of course facebook.com/itsintuition. Feel free to follow me on there. But it's like so weird that dudes want to add you, because like I never update my personal Facebook page, which is public. So like, you know, the fact that if you're searching me out on there to add me on my personal Facebook page, it's public and you can see that I'd never fucking post on there ever. But then that leads me to think that the only reason they want to add me is so that they can message me and chat. And it's like, come on, dude, it's fucking 2013 and I'm in my 30s. I don't want to fucking chat with you, man. Leave me alone. That's crazy. But on the same note, if you're a pretty young lady and you add me on Facebook, I'm not mad at you. Feel free. You know what I'm saying? You can add me. Maybe we could chat. that's so creepy. And I'm super down with it being creepy. It's fine. But yeah, that's my Facebook lesson for the day. Like, don't add me on my personal page. Just leave me alone, dog. If you want to message me at facebook.com/itsintuition. I do read all of the messages that get sent there. Sometimes I respond if they are of importance to me, or if you come approach me in a nice way. A lot of them get ignored because it's people just being like fucking dicks or like bossy or saying, check out my music, and I'm probably not going to. But I've been doing like advice stuff on this show, and we've been doing so many this week that I just ran out of advice questions to fill in. So if you want to hit me on there. If you have any questions, feel free. And this week we have a dude who I'm not super familiar with. I'll be honest. I've just been seeing his name around a little bit, and I saw some of his videos the other day and I was like, oh, this is interesting. His name is Koreatown Oddity. Or maybe it's the Koreatown Oddity. I'm actually gonna have to text him and see if there's a V in the front. But he's a cool dude, man. We had a good conversation, and pretty interesting. He does comedy as well. He raps with a mask on. And I'll be honest, like the mask thing, it can be off-putting. It might seem gimmicky, but he explains it really quickly in the beginning, and it seems like a genuine story. And I don't think that the mask thing is truly just a gimmick for him. I just think that, like, you know, he feels more comfortable rapping with the mask on. And so it is what it is. But I like his sound because it's like he makes his own beats. They sound kind of like crazy, fucking stoned, weird, spaced out Mad Lib type shit with weird samples and stuff. But then he raps kind of like, it reminds me of like late 80s fucking The God MCs. Like it reminds me of like old Rakim and Big Daddy Kane, how those fools used to rap real straightforward and conversational and like with a little bit of hoo-ha in his voice. You know what I mean? Like it's tight. And I think that some things are going to start bubbling for him soon. So I wanted to have him in, see what he was all about, and I enjoyed the conversation. So without further ado, please feel free to keep enjoying this episode featuring Koreatown Oddity. Yeah, man. So what's up?
You know, I probably wouldn't.
Don't want people to see your face.
You know, the funny thing is, if you come to the show
yeah.
and see me live, you're going to see my face anyway.
Do you wear the mask on stage?
Yeah.
But you take it off after.
Yeah. Like, you know, and you might see me before the show. Yeah. You might see when I'm hooking up my shit. I ain't got all that on.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But it's, you know, it's I guess it's kind of a statement and a representative of
yeah.
what type of sound and energy.
I hate to bring it up as the first thing that we talk about, but it's the elephant in the room.
No, I mean, yeah. I mean,
so where does it come from?
You know, actually, I had this since I was in high school.
Yeah, the mask.
Yeah, I one day I went to Hollywood Toys and Costumes and I saw this mask. I just thought that shit was ill. Like,
yeah.
It has like inside, it has like a strap. So when you put it on your head, it fits to your head and your chin. So when you move your jaw,
it moves
with you.
Oh, tight.
So I thought the craftsmanship was just the shit.
Yeah.
And it was like $70, which is in high school, that shit is like,
that's a lot of money.
$100 or something. Yeah. You know, like, so yeah. I just saved, you know, the money I would get, you know, and then just saved it up. And then I went and bought it.
Uh-huh.
And then I just had it. But I never did shit with it.
Has it been your Halloween costume for like ages?
I never used it for Halloween costume.
You just had it around the crib?
Never.
Are you into like horror movies and shit or something? Like, what made you go look for a mask?
It's not that I even look for it. You know what I mean?
Just came into your life.
It's just kind of like, you know, I'm always, you know, I'm out and I saw some shit that was ill and I was just like, I like that shit.
So you were in high school and you were at Hollywood?
Hollywood Toys and Costumes where I got it from.
Okay, so you're from Hollywood?
I'm from Koreatown.
From Koreatown. So that's where the name comes from.
Since 1984.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like kind of maybe not born, but born and bred? Raised there?
Definitely born and lived there.
Oh,
I think.
The whole time?
Yeah, I think the only time I haven't lived there is probably now, I guess.
Nice.
And that's only been like for a few months.
You know? Why were you staying there now?
I'm over kind of like Miracle Mile, but like, I think it's just temporary until, you know, I get some other shit, which I'd love to be
even Miracle Mile is like Koreatown adjacent.
But see, you know what? I know the exact box of where it's at. Like it goes as far south as like Olympic, maybe Pico.
Yeah.
As far east as about Vermont, a little bit further.
Mm-hmm.
North as Beverly and a couple blocks above.
Mm-hmm.
And what did I do? Oh, west. West is probably about not Crenshaw, but like a couple blocks back from Crenshaw, maybe like Wilton and a little bit further up. But like, that's the box. That's the official box. So when people were like, my boy's like, yo, man, I just got this. I'm in my new spot. I'm in Koreatown. I'm like, where you at? He's like, yo, I'm at 1600 Oxford stop.
You just put your friend on blast.
Yeah, you're up. You're past Venice, dog.
Yeah, yeah.
I know they say that on Craigslist. They give a big wide vicinity.
Oh yeah, when you're on Craigslist, like it's so funny when I'm like trying to find a new place right now because I want to move downtown, and it's like you type in downtown Los Angeles, right, and everything is like, oh, Koreatown. It's down. It's right next to downtown.
Right.
I'm like, nah, that shit is not that close.
That's racist because that's Chinatown. That's what they did. They're thinking about.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, what was Koreatown like in the 80s growing up?
Man, what was crazy is I remember my mom telling me when I was little there weren't as many people. Like there wasn't, and it wasn't Koreatown, I don't think, in the early 80s. I think it was when people started moving there, you know, Korean families started coming over, started having businesses, and the people was like, oh, you know, this area is nice. They came over, and then like, now that shit is, I think it's the second biggest Korean population
outside of Seoul.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
When I was younger, though, it was like, you know, black and Hispanic and, you know, a few Koreans.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, I remember somebody saying like, why? Like, I remember like, oh, where you live in Koreatown? They were like, why? I was like, what do you mean, why? What kind of question is
that?
That's
just where I'm from.
Yeah, this is where I'm at. It's like, people think that it was like, it's always been all Korean.
Yeah.
You know, and even now it's still mixed, you know? So
I feel like fools are trying to gentrify it now.
Oh, yeah.
you know what I'm saying?
It's getting mad popular, dude. Yeah. Like, it's like... It's
well, there's nice apartments and it's fairly cheap.
Yeah, they're like... Actually, when I was 19, an apartment that we lived in, they tore that shit down. They had to, like... They made us get out and they tore the building out, which is still now an empty lot. They still haven't built shit, and that's like 10 years ago.
Mm.
So, and then I moved... So, I lived... Okay, I was St. Andrews in Fifth when I was a kid. Then we moved to Harvard in Seventh. Then we moved directly across the street. Then that place is a place got torn down. Then we moved to like near Kenmore and then Hobart and Seventh. So it's just always been around the same area, you know.
How'd your folks end up in Koreatown?
Well, my dad never lived in Koreatown. My mom, I live with my mom. My mom and dad were never together.
Okay. But, how'd mom end up in Koreatown?
Oh, I mean, I think maybe she just liked the area, I'm guessing. And then like...
So you got generations in Los Angeles?
No, my mom actually moved to California when she was 18. So everybody else is from Ohio.
Okay.
And
what part of Ohio?
Akron and Canton, pretty much.
Shout out to Akron.
You know, the hoodest Ohio spots.
Yeah. Hey, people would be surprised. Ohio, that sounds like a nice, like, wholesome state, but that place has got some scary spots in it, man.
Right. People know Cleveland and Columbus mostly, like, if you, like, you know, if you don't know anything
Cincinnati
about Ohio.
Is scary as shit, man. I've been to Cincinnati. It's the bad parts.
Yo, man. Yeah. I had some funny experiences out there.
Yeah.
Crazy shit.
You used to go back a lot and visit?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Because, you know, my grandma's over there, like, you know, funerals, of course, for people. I was just thinking about the time this the homie had me in some crack house. His boy is just like cooking up this crack, and I just made me laugh right now. Just thinking like that. Like,
that's dark to laugh at.
You know,
I
mean, like, you know what? Interesting that you say that. So, all right, so I'm with him, like, and it's like late as fuck. We go to this boy spot, one of them spots where it's a bunch of niggas in there, and like, you know, they got their dough, they're stacking money, they're shooting dice. It's like some kind of weird looking house, and you know, I didn't know anybody there. I'm chilling, we're all faded. My cousin was there, and then they all leave. Like, I don't know where they just leave me here, and so I'm there with this one dude. There's some, you know, some they got some like kilos right there, some weed and shit, right. And so I'm just chilling. I'm like drinking. What they had me on the, what was that shit? That velvet.
Yeah, okay.
You know what I'm talking about? What the
black
fuck?
Velvet.
Black velvet. Whiskey. Oh my God. So there was this wrestling toy on the table. Like
one of those old school like rubber joints?
Yeah, like a Rowdy Rowdy Piper.
Yeah, yeah. That shit's tight.
So I remember this cat, does he like look like he'll fuck you up?
Yeah.
Just like mad serious the whole time. I'm just chilling. I'm mad faded. I'm not really talking that much. I'm just kind of observing. And so I end up grabbing the toy, and I'm like, you know, fucking with the toy.
Yeah.
So then he's like, what you know about that?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So you start going into all these, like, wrestling, you know, references, you know, fucking, what is it, the dragon, fucking Mr. Perfect. We start going all off on that.
Yeah.
But it's interesting that connection could be there anyway.
Yeah.
You know, regardless of what that life is like.
Yeah.
He knows about that. And we made a connection through that. And then that shit was mad cool. And they didn't come back for a minute too. So I was just chilling with this dude I don't know. We just blazing talking about wrestling.
Yeah, yeah.
Crazy.
That's tight.
Yeah.
And that was in Akron?
Yeah, Akron.
Yeah. Were you around that kind of shit in LA too?
Yeah. I mean, there's so much shit out here, you know.
Yeah. Like, well, and being an 80s baby, like, Koreatown was going crazy in the early 90s, wasn't it?
Oh, man. This is like, anybody that probably knows me probably knows I always talk about this, because it was kind of like, you know, a thing that you really remember, the riots.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up, because like that neighborhood was like one of the craziest spots during the riots, right?
Right, but the crazy thing is,
like, Koreans all took on the white bandanas and everything.
And they were like, they were strapped up.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah.
Like, my mom actually drove around, and you know, she was a driver, and she went to go pick up her boy downtown, and he was hopping out and stealing shit, and I was in the back. I must have been 8 92.
Yeah.
So I'm in the back seat, which was like, it was mad crazy that day. I just remember like people hopping over the hoods of cars. It was just mad crazy, but we went out and got a bunch of shit.
Yeah.
Which is, I still have some VHS tapes to this day from that time.
Yeah.
And I just remember on, there was a California Mart on 5th and Western.
Yeah.
And we lived like a couple blocks from there at that time. And they were on the roof with shotguns.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Don't fuck with us right now.
Yeah.
Which was crazy because we're like, you know, we're right there. We're sitting on the news. And then we're standing right there looking at it at the same time.
Yeah.
Like, they had a curfew that day, too.
I find, like, the riots, like, are super intriguing to me because, like, I watched them from back home where I was at. And I was
where
like,
are you from?
I'm from Alaska.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. And the reason that I think that I'm so intrigued by the riots is because, like, I was a good student as a kid. And I was entered a speech competition, you know. And it was,
wow,
like, impromptu speech or whatever.
Right.
So I won my school one. And to go to the citywide one, they gave us our speech topics the night before. So it was when the riots were cracking off. And it was when Ross Perot was running for president.
Wow.
And so we had the choice. You could either do a speech the next day on the riots or Ross Perot. And I didn't really understand either of them because I was like a fucking kid, you know?
Right,
so
right.
My dad sat down at home and he's like, yo, let's talk about the riots. It'll be more interesting.
Right.
And he kind of like tried to break down the like racism and the cops and
right,
what was happening. And it was like so much to digest.
Right.
But at the same time, I feel like I fell in love with Los Angeles at that point from up there. Like, wow, this place is crazy. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it just seems so cool. And it was what I was seeing in the movies and shit at the time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
With fucking, you know, Boys in the Hood and
what,
shit
Menace
like that. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Menace. It was like, it was crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, Koreans really fucking G'd up at that point.
Oh, yeah.
Like, when you go back and watch, like, what was going on back then on YouTube or whatever.
Yeah.
They fucking G'd up, dude.
And like, that's tight as fuck that they were like, yo, nah.
They created like their own little mini army in your neighborhood.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
The shit was crazy.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah. So what was that like? Was it scary to fucking go out at that time? Were you in the house?
Nah, you know what? I remember the whole day we were out stealing shit.
That's so crazy. And you were going in too or what?
No, I wasn't. Yeah, I'm 8. I was in the back seat.
Yeah, yeah.
My mom drove and then like our friend Terry with the Jerry curl back in the day.
Oh shit.
Oh, I remember there was this Ralph's. This is when Ralph's, they had one on Western just past 8th Street. Now it's on 7th Street, but it was one just past 8th Street and the fucking Ralph's was flooded out with like oatmeal and cereal.
What?
For some reason.
Yeah.
That shit was crazy. And so I remember Terry had these, like, some fresh high tops he had. He tied some plastic bags.
So they wouldn't get oatmeal on his shit?
Yeah, and then ran in there. I just remember that image, like, as a kid, seeing him tie that and then seeing him run in with, it's like oatmeal and cereal. Like, how the fuck did all this cereal get everywhere?
That's
like,
so crazy.
Crazy, dude.
Yeah, yeah. And how many days did that last?
Man.
Like, it seemed like the city was in shambles for, like, 3 or 4 days at least.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, but I remember that was, like, I don't know if that was the first or second day.
Yeah.
But it was, like, a whole, like, they had a curfew.
Yeah.
So it was almost like they were saying, hey, you about to go fuck some shit up.
Go steal shit from 9 to 5.
Yeah, you better have your ass in the house by 10, because that's when you're going to start fucking people up.
That's when the rubber bullets are coming out.
Yeah, because it was, like, there was, like, they weren't doing anything.
They were out.
Yeah, like people were running in the street with Nintendos. Yeah. Like, dude, that shit was insane. Like, and to see no cops like really doing anything. Like, they were almost like, all right, let them do whatever they want, and then at night we're gonna start fucking people up.
Yeah, so that's so crazy, man.
Yeah, man. Like,
that's crazy that you still have some VHSs from then.
Oh yeah, Ghostbusters.
Oh shit,
Ghostbusters, a cartoon.
Yeah,
not Ghostbusters.
Yeah, the TV series.
Yeah, but not Egon. Fucking none of that shit.
Yeah.
It's like this Ghostbusters where there's two of them and an ape.
What?
Yeah, it's a weird
Ghostbusters. I think I vaguely remember
that. And they had a car that had like a ghost face on the front.
Yeah.
And he would talk and shit. He had like his voice like this.
Wow, that's weird, dude.
Yeah, and for me, it was really weird because I knew Ghostbusters, the other one. So when I watched this tape, that shit was like...
Yeah. So like already since we've been talking, you brought up wrestling and like a rare cartoon. And then when you walked in, you were commenting on the comic book stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Is pop culture like a big part of your life? Like, did you grow up a TV kid?
Oh, of course. Yeah, definitely.
Same.
And because, you know, obviously a single mom, you know what I'm saying? I mean, my pops was around. Like, I knew my pops and shit like that. And, you know, I'd see
him. How often would you see him?
You know, like, I'd see him and then, like, maybe I wouldn't see him for a few months.
Oh, yeah.
And then, like, maybe I'll see him for a week straight and then I wouldn't see him for a minute.
It was the time you guys had together, like, solid and productive, or was it just kind of like...
Yeah, always. Yeah. Like, you know, we always did shit like... you know, take me to the action movies.
Yeah.
You know, we'd always go to see the action.
So even you guys bonded over entertainment as well.
Oh, yeah. The Schwarzenegger, Stallone, all that. Oh, that was all my shit right there. You know, Van Damme.
For sure. So Terminator 2 was a fucking game changer, dog.
Oh, yeah.
I remember my dad taking my brother and I to see that. And us both kind of thinking like, wow, maybe we shouldn't have seen that at this age.
But, right.
But it was so tight.
Yeah, that shit is amazing. That's just still better than the first one.
The one that I remember that was like a real game changer too was RoboCop.
Oh, like, my God.
Watching RoboCop as a child, I knew I was doing something that I should not be doing, right. but it was amazing.
Be honest, like when you're a kid, almost like violence was more exciting than porno. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely.
Because like there was like some kind of story going with it. You know what I mean?
And I think, like, I don't know, like, I was somebody that could decipher between like fantasy violence and real violence.
Right, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, it's interesting that when, you know, they talk about music and they say, oh, you know, people are saying this. It's like, but I've always understood that, like, you're not supposed to do that for real. You know, it's just like,
I've always been from that school of thought where it's like the art doesn't inspire the violence. The violence in real life inspires the art or whatever. Like with rap music, like, you remember that shit that was like, a couple months ago, it was like this note went viral that was like this conspiracy between record labels about some record labels invested in the prison system. And they're like,
what?
Yo,
no, I didn't hear about that.
To me, it was some bullshit. And I've gotten in an argument with a few people about it, but it seemed like some fucking bullshit.
Right.
Because to me, it's like rap, even the most violent rap has always kind of been, it's rooted in some bit of truth that is already happening.
Right.
You know, it's like the hood reporting or whatever.
Right. Oh, yeah, exactly.
I mean, NWA was not fucking trying to incite violence. They were talking about violence that was already going on. And then they were fucking proved right when the riots went on.
Right. And like also, too, people don't realize, some people can't take it for that, but it has humor. Like,
yeah.
Like even when, you know, somebody's saying, I'm about to cut your head off. You know, they might have like a clever line about cutting your head off.
Yeah.
Like DMX saying, you know, I'll make your brain pop out the top like Jack in the Box. Oh, no, I think that was 50 Cent. But like, you know,
like skits like fucking Ice Cube going, oh, hey, you just won, motherfucker. What did I win? You won the wet T-shirt contest.
Right. You know what I'm saying?
That's like, funny.
It's funny.
It's like, dark. It's dark.
It's dark. Like people don't realize like
yeah,
a lot of rappers are hilarious.
Yeah, absolutely.
And even and they know you. You know Ice Cube when they played that shit back in the studio. He fucking
they were
laughed
laughing.
At that shit.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. What were you like as a kid then? Were you a loner? Were you popular? What was going on in elementary school? How about that?
Elementary school. Oh, well, you know, when I was younger, I actually got into a car accident. I got into three car accidents. It kind of made me feel like, you know, the heroes have their origins and shit.
Yeah.
Made me feel like that was a part of, you know, me growing up. It needed to happen. You know? Like the first thing was there was this car accident. We were going to the babysitter's house and this car U-turned out of a parking spot. And I had just taken my seatbelt off. And so he U-turned like directly into us. I don't know if he was fucked up or something, but
what time of day was it?
It was daytime, like 2, 3, something like that. And my head bashed into the dashboard and I broke a blood vessel on my nose.
Ooh.
So like,
so it was just dripping blood or
So like through most of my life, I had to, I had to go to the hospital a lot because my nose would just start bleeding in the middle of the night. And so I'll have to wake up in the middle of the night. My mom had to wake me up because if she didn't, I'll bleed and I'll suffocate myself.
Did they end up doing like cauterizing it or something?
You know what? I don't really even remember what exactly happened.
Yeah.
Like I just know had a lot of visits and then one day it didn't really happen.
So were you like frail as a kid? Is that what you're trying to say? Like you had a lot of like, you had to go to the doctor a lot. So like you were,
I mean, I went to the doctor a lot, but it wasn't like.
You weren't getting picked on or nothing.
I wasn't like frail like that.
Yeah.
But it was just like something like a weird thing. Like I might be in class and then my nose just start bleeding. And then people were like, oh my God. And then so to top that off, like I know my mom, man, it's crazy. I know my mom must have been like, man, what is going on? I remember I went to the ice cream truck one time and you know, I got an ice cream sandwich in one of those little airplanes that used to make. They put the plastic piece on the tip.
Oh, yeah.
Like
they're like weighted in the front. Kinda.
Yeah, those are ill. And so, like, I stepped out. I looked both ways, you know. And then as soon as I stepped out, this car came around the corner and hit me. And then when he tried to back up, I guess, to see if I was okay.
He hit you again?
He broke my leg.
Oh, my God.
I'm a little kid, so it's like my leg could be easily broken by a car backing up over, you know what I'm saying?
I mean, anybody's leg's going to get broken. I don't know how far apart these things were,
but like not that far, because I was probably like in first grade when I was on crutches with the cast and all that shit.
Wow.
And I remember at the time, my half sister, we have the same dad, she lived across the street. So she was going to the ice cream truck too. And so she saw that shit. You know, so she, you know, called my dad immediately. Like, that shit, my mom came out, it was crazy. The tight part is that.
Did you get a settlement from it?
Man, I remember we got something out of it. Yeah. Definitely. It was like a big thing. Now, I remember going to with my mom to court when I was a kid and shit, like on the crutches, like so they could see me, you know.
Right, right.
And I remember, though, when I got out of the hospital, I had the cast and all that shit. My mom had saved the ice cream sandwich in the freezer.
She said, now you get to eat it.
And the airplane, too. Yeah. Which is funny, and then when I think about it now, like, she's like, oh, my baby, I'm going to save this ice cream sandwich for you, though. You know what I mean? Like, so weird.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and then, like, so, you know what I mean? That's just random.
That's funny.
And so, it was like a, it was those two car accidents, and then there was another one, which was on Merrill's and Wilton, where we were driving, and the car backed out of the driveway and continued to back out and hit us, and a piece of glass shattered and like stuck in my forehead.
Whoa.
And I blacked out. I don't remember, but my mom told me that, you know, people rushed out with towels because it was like right in a residential, right? Merrill's and Wilton, the area right there. And the guy broke out running because apparently he was stealing the car.
Oh, shit.
So that shit was just crazy as fuck.
Damn.
Which, and with that one, like, you know, like, you know, my head hurt, and you know, I had a piece of glass. I still got like a little tiny scar right here, but I didn't have to go to the hospital. I think we just went home after that.
She's like, "Oh, we'll just put a band-aid on."
Right? He's like, "Nigga, you didn't got hit by so much shit. Like,
you're used to this by now.
You're good. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, yeah. It's funny that you bring up getting like backed over, because I remember one time back home, I was in this place called Vega Circle. It was like this, it was up this hill behind my house, and I was on my bike, and it was like my first bike, and I was like, my parents were giving me a little bit of freedom. You know, I was probably like 7 or 8.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, hell yeah, fucking riding my bike around and shit. Yeah. And I'm like cruising through the circle, trying to go back down the hill to get home, and like this van, it was like a passenger van. I still remember what it looked like. It was a gray passenger van with like some kind of Asian writing all over it, and there was like a gang of like middle school children in it that were all Asian kids and a dude. I'm not hating on Asians right now. No shots fired. But like, they stopped kind of suddenly, and so like I skid, and they start backing up, and I went, oh shit, and I like fell off my bike, and they like kind of fucking started backing over me and my bike, and I'm like hitting the bumper because it's a tall ass passenger van. I'm like laying on the ground hitting the bumper, and all the like middle school kids are looking out at me like laughing like, oh shit. And I look back now going, oh, that was like some dangerous shit, and I could have gotten hurt really bad. But at the time, my fucking 7 or 8 year old brain was like, don't let your parents find out that you almost ruined your brand new bike. Like,
right. Wow.
Get home and keep it on the low. You know what I'm saying? I never fucking told them that shit.
That's funny. Hey, you might have to tell them. Well, now
they don't listen. So it doesn't fucking matter. Yeah. Shout outs to my mom, but she doesn't listen. So. But anyhow, you're in school growing up, loving fucking wrestling and pop culture shit.
Yeah,
and
then, all that shit.
Were you a good student? Were you studious?
I mean, I guess I was. I remember, when I was in, you know, kindergarten, she said I was doing third grade math and shit that. But like, you know,
were you into school though, or was it just something you had to do?
Not really. Like, I mean, like, I'm like, I think it's mad tight that I went to school. Like, you know, like, school is fucking the shit.
Yeah.
But I didn't. Once I got out of high school, I didn't want to. I don't want to do any more school.
Yeah, but you graduated high school.
Yeah, it's tight to do the amount of school I'm supposed to do because
you don't want to go to college.
Yeah, you need those necessary skills. Yeah. And you know, like a lot of great things happen. Like school is fucking great.
Did you avoid the trappings of LA inner city youth at the time?
What, like gangs and shit?
Yeah, gangs and shit like that.
I mean, I didn't avoid having confrontations.
Yeah.
Hey, that's what you mean. Like, of course, we've been, you know, I remember I used to say to people, like, you ain't really from LA, like, if you're like ethnic if no one jacked you or at least patted you down.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we've been jacked a couple of times.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We're just like, niggas just mobbed up on us and like, yo.
Where are you from?
In pocket check, dog.
Oh, yeah.
You know, take your shit. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we were robbed with guns before. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? It's like.
Yeah.
And I remember actually. I just thought about my boy's brother. We used to go down to Shaw all the time. Like, that's when, I don't think it's cracking like that no more, but like, it used to be the shit.
Back like, when folks would like cruise on it.
Yeah, people have all their whips, you know, like, you know, car clubs. They probably still got that, but like, where they used to have like their car club emblem in the back window.
I think they've like cracked down on that now. Like, I don't think you're allowed to cruise the Shaw like that.
I don't think so, man.
Yeah, but I remember seeing that in movies when I was a kid and being like, whoa.
Dude, that shit was cracking. Like, and then we have a parking lot where somebody would just be busting mad donuts and shit like that, and bitches would be out there, like, you know, it was like, it's crazy. So I remember one time, like, he had a sick whip too. Like, he was like, he was ahead of the game back then. He had a Honda Civic that was, it was burnt orange. Mm-hmm. That color was new back then. Mm-hmm. And he had lights in his rims and like a Dreamcast in his shit. And he had hydraulics, which was the fucking really game changer right there. Because a lot of people got that air pump shit.
Yeah.
But he had
the real hydraulics.
The real shit. So when we would go on Sunset Boulevard or something and people was like popping that air shit, they have to recharge.
Yeah.
So this shit would stop and he'd still be zoop, 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 making niggas look stupid. And they're just like, ah, stop, please. You're embarrassing us right now.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, we almost got carjacked by some dudes. Like, it was a chase, like a freeway chase.
No,
like,
shit.
Yeah, like, so I mean, like, I guess that's part of it.
That's funny. That sounds like a flashy ass car to get stolen, though. It seems like
right.
You put a report in for that. They're like, oh yeah, it's the orange car with lights in the rear.
Yeah, I'm sure they were gonna strip it.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Get rid of it.
It was
quick.
One of those things where they try to box us in.
Oh wow.
You know, like it's late night, you know, like after everybody is gone, we're driving, and then, you know, some niggas roll up, a nigga's behind, and you like, I'm noticing, I'm like, what the fuck? Who's this nigga getting in front?
Yeah.
And then somebody's sliding up on the side. I'm like, oh, this is the time you got to make a move now.
Yeah.
That's a quick ass U-turn. He tried to hit us. Like,
he said, go, go, gadget.
Yeah, for real. Like,
that's crazy.
Like, now, when I look back on those stories, those shits is, you know, it's funny.
Yeah.
But at the time, you're like, damn.
Yeah.
You know?
What kept you out of joining the gangs and stuff in the neighborhood that you were in?
I mean, I don't think my mom was going to let me get that way.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when I was young, she had me involved in all kind of shit. Camp, you know, you play all the sports, football, basketball.
Did you excel at sports at all?
Nah, I'm not great at sports at
really?
All.
Really? You're built for sports. You're tall, dude.
It's true. It's true. You know, I always say I think the best part of it was just having a good seat.
Yeah.
You know, say I get to sit with the team and I get to fucking be
up the best seat in the game.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? That's an ill seat. Like, if they sold those seats, imagine Jay-Z would buy a seat.
Yeah.
And a fuck next to a player. You know what I'm saying?
That's why Jack's always sitting there right next to the bench. That's like,
exactly.
It feels like you're on the team.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I think it was, for me, it's a tension thing.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I'd be on the court when I'm playing basketball and I would just travel sometimes just because I'd start spacing out. You know what I'm saying? I'll be like, oh, yeah, that's right. Dribble.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Or like somebody try to do a quick, you know, like people throwing no look passes and shit.
Yeah.
I'm not thinking you about to throw no. I'm thinking about some whole other shit.
Yeah.
And now I just got hit with the ball.
Yeah.
Look, Dominique, what the fuck?
Are you a daydreamer or what?
I think so. I think so. Like, you know, I feel like sports, that's why I respect sports. Like, I'm a fan of sports. Like, you know, I love basketball, you know. But being in it, no, because I realize how much, like, you got to be fucking in there the whole time. Like, in the concentrating, being ready for everything.
Yeah.
I feel like that was just too much.
Yeah. Do you find yourself, like, having trouble paying attention to tasks in normal day life or anything like that?
I mean.
You get sidetracked?
I mean, I do still, you know, space out like that. But, like, I think it's different now because, you know, there's things that they go towards.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
If I have a, you know, a funny thought, I can write it down and be like, oh, I'm going to talk about this later. You know what I'm saying? I'll tell some jokes or some shit. You know what I'm saying? Or, oh, shit, this could go in a verse.
Right.
And driving is kind of a mindless thing for me anyway.
I do all my creativity in the car. Right. Dude, real talk. When you know where you're going here, it's like you can fucking turn your brain off and just, all you got to pay attention to is if someone's stopping in front of you.
Right, right.
So that's where I write.
Exactly, yeah. And then, like, you know, walking around, you just get thoughts, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like,
what was like your passion when you were a kid? Like, if it wasn't sports, was it video games? Was it like, what were you super into? What were you known as in school?
Oh man, people know me as a funny guy. Yeah. That's people probably know me. And you know,
so you're class clown?
Oh yeah, most definitely. Yeah. Most definitely. Dude, when I was really young, I could do impressions and shit.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
Who could you do?
Oh man. All the regular shit, like all the shit that's like mad hacky in comedy Cosby. All the Clinton,
Eddie Murphy and shit.
Yeah, Eddie Murphy, all that shit. Yeah, and always like hip hop shit too. Like so that was my shit, like hip hop and comedy shit. Yeah. You know?
Wait, so you say hacky, and hacky is like definitely like a comedy term that doesn't get thrown around by civilians. So were you into stand up? Like did you do stand up?
Yeah, I did. Oh, yeah,
you do stand up?
Yeah, I still like, you know, now and we going into it, it's kind of like when I was younger, I was already fucking doing a Laugh Factory, like emceeing that shit.
Oh, no shit. Yeah, at what age?
16, no 17, shit. Yeah.
Wow.
And so, like, you know, I always felt like I was always a dude who got bored of doing the same shit in a box.
Yeah.
And also, too, if anything felt like it was corny to me, I couldn't do it.
Right.
So I always tell people, I was like, yo, if I didn't really care about being corny and I just was all about the paper, about everything, I'd be Nick Cannon right now.
Probably. No shit. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But, and so I've got
to Nick Cannon actually sponsored our show. So, shout out to Nick. No, I'm just
kidding. How hilarious that'd be.
No shots at Nick.
The thing is, because, I used to get arguments with my mom all the time about, like, I've been in so many situations, music and the comedy, with like famous people, but like maybe the situation or what they was doing was too corny. Like they liked what I did, but then when they got me in a situation where we're gonna do some shit, they wanted me to do something else. Like, and for any money,
you have to like sell your soul.
Yeah, and I've never been that type of dude. Not even trying to be like, yo, dog, I'll keep it real. You know,
right.
Not even like that. It's more like on the inside, I could never perform at the top quality if I thought that shit was corny or whack.
Yeah.
And I think I remember when I was a kid, this babysitter I knew, he was a big fat ass dude.
Yeah.
Right? And he used to be in the bed like most of the time. And you know, that's back in the day when I used to eat Vienna sausages and shit out the can.
Wait, you know, we gotta pause this whole. You're like, yeah, I used to have this fat ass babysitter that'd be in the bed and I ate Vienna sausages. Yeah. I'm like, pause.
No, yeah, but that he used to have, you know, that, but that's all the like, it was all those like ghetto snacks. Like, it was like Vienna sausages, top ramen.
They would just be up in the crock pot and shit.
Yeah, that was the shit that I would eat mad shit, which of course probably was not good for my blood pressure, you know what I'm saying? But like,
end up with that diabetes.
Right, exactly. But they had mad VHSs, like probably everything, old shit. So people don't know that when I was a kid, I probably saw everything.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because that's all this dude used to do. And he said, yo, Dominic, look at this. Mm-hmm. Look at this, Dominic. Mm-hmm. Dominic, Lone Ranger, Dominic.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, so Lone Ranger, fucking.
You just soaked up a lot of fucking pop culture.
So much shit. So, you know what I'm saying? That goes back to like, so when I'm with somebody and they think they're doing some shit and I know, I'm like, no, but that's,
it's already that.
You know what I'm saying?
So and so did that.
Yeah, it's like, that's kind of like biting such and such.
Yeah, yeah.
I hate to be a biter. You know what I'm saying? Like that.
I feel that same way. Man, that's such a, the fear of being a biter is like such a lost thing now. Like nobody gives a fuck about blatantly ripping people off
anymore.
No one
cares.
It's crazy. I feel like even like 7-8 years ago in like the rap scene, it's like, dude, if you got accused of being a biter, that was it. Like you had to disappear for a while.
Exactly.
And now it's like fools just do it and are like, oh yeah, they'll like admit it. Like, oh, I got inspired to do this because of this. And I'm like, that song's only 3 months old, Doug.
Right.
Like, what the fuck?
Yeah. And I think it's also too, which is, I feel like, man, a lot of normal people don't have those same pressures.
Yeah.
Because being in the hip hop world and the comedy world,
yeah,
you can't be, don't be a hack, yeah, and don't be a biter.
Yeah.
And so those two minds combined together within really actually at the same time expands my creativity, yeah, because then I know, okay, this person did this, this person did that. So then that allowed me to be, you know, ahead in different, yeah, things because I already knew what was before me. Like, that's why people that don't know their history, you know, they look really bad when they're doing some shit and you're like,
yeah,
yo, dog, you know that's...
Right, that's so-and-so's joke.
That's a big-ass,
yeah,
famous song, or that's a big joke, or,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
How did you, like, break into emceeing at the Laugh Factory at 16?
Man, I did this camp. It was like a comedy camp for young kids when I was 15. They, yeah, had, like, some kind of, like, auditions for it, yeah, and I went and I did that shit. And,
oh, shit.
Yeah, and then the owner of the Laugh Factory was just like, one night was just like, yo, you should come at night, dog, and, uh-huh, perform at night.
Yeah.
And I went and I did that shit.
What were your bits like back then?
It was like some like impressions and some like jokes.
Yeah.
And, you know, I went at night and there was another cat, my homie back in the day, Kenny Johnson, who was, uh-huh, also a cat that went in there when he was young, like 17, uh-huh, 18. So he was older than me, like a couple years older than me. But, like, we were pretty much the like young motherfuckers, yeah, like, just in there.
Yeah.
Which was, that was a crazy time when I think about it. Because to me, like, I don't be tripping off, like, any of the Hollywood type shit.
Celebrity type shit.
Yeah, I don't be tripping off, yeah, none of that shit. Yeah, yeah. I mean, since I was young. Maybe, yeah, because of...
You were around that.
Because having all these things, like, you know, like, emceeing, we used to bring Chris Rock. You know, because, like... Comedians just show up.
Yeah.
And then you bring them up. Them. Yeah, it's Roseanne. Like, oh, it's Tim Allen. It's, yeah, fucking Chris Rock.
Guess who happens
Chris
to be
Tucker
in the crowd tonight?
Yeah, it's, yeah, Marlon Wayans. It's fucking, yeah, you know, like, so fast.
Yeah.
You know, where it's just like, you know, by the time I'm 18, I've seen all those motherfuckers. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Did you ever get close to, like, the quote-unquote big break as a comedian?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely. I think, but see, that's the reason why I think I'm not right there because
you ran from
I don't want to tap.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah,
what I'm saying? I, yeah, hate to tap dance.
And do you feel like some people probably think that's self-destructive, but, you, I but mean, it's like, yeah, a moral thing for you?
Or people say some shit like, you know, they think you're scared of success or, yeah, some bullshit like that. You know what I'm saying? But, yeah, like,
do you think it's bullshit?
I think it's bullshit, yeah, according to...
Sometimes I think I'm scared of success.
Oh, do you?
Sometimes I feel that way. And I know some of my friends I feel like are scared of success, and they self-destruct. You, yeah, know what I'm saying?
Like, what, I mean, what's an example that you think, though? Like, what do you mean?
For me?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. Like, well, I mean, for me, I don't know how much you know about my story or whatever. The people listening are probably familiar, but, like, I've been working on an album now for, like, a fucking long time, and I haven't finished it, and now I'm going through this. Like,
oh, did you do beats? Or
me?
You,
no, I rap, yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't,
yeah,
know,
yeah,
that. Oh,
no,
okay.
Yeah, yeah. Oh. See, that's the cool thing about this, too, is that a lot of people that I have on, they don't really know that I rap.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, the reason that I started the whole podcast is because, like, I rap, and I like to show other parts of my personality through this, and I feel like it lets the, you know, the audience get closer or whatever.
Right.
So, yeah, anyhow, like, I'm taking a really fucking long time on this record and it getting to the point where I feel like it's self-destructive. It's been over 3 years since I released my last record, we've been working on this one for about two, but it's getting to the point where I'm like, I have a bit of a block that I'm going through.
Oh, because now,
because it's getting done, it's done, it's almost done,
right?
And I'm like, I worry sometimes that part of me is like scared to put it out, you know,
right? Because I'm like,
what if this is it and it doesn't work?
Right. I mean,
and that's real.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, to be honest, I don't even think that's you just want it to be good.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I'm saying? I do just want it to be good.
I mean, Nas, didn't he take like a fucking like a year or something to put out Illmatic? Like, he worked on that shit for like a year.
I think he worked on it from the time he was 16 until he was 18.
Right. I know it was like a minute.
And
like,
at the same time, he's never put out anything as good since.
I mean,
that's my opinion.
Nothing that will be touching that, obviously, yeah, but like from beginning to end.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, still some good shit.
Yeah.
But definitely, yeah, you're right.
You know, how can you top one of the best, or at least top five, if not the best hip hop album of all time?
Right.
Like, and that's hard to top.
And like, you know, usually like they always say with mostly everyone's first album,
you have your whole life to write, right, your first album, and then you got 6 months to write the next one, is what they say.
Right. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
But that's what I love about doing shit independently is because
you have your own time.
Yeah, you put it out whenever the fuck you want.
Exactly. The self-destruction thing, it hits close to me. Like, I'm sure that I've self-destructed in the past and I'm trying to get past that.
Yeah.
You know, are you still working on the comedy? Like,
I mean, yeah, I always, you know, I always have, because I just think of shit that's funny, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Sometimes it might just end up being a tweet. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And then other times I'll be like, oh, I want to write this down.
What spots are you doing your act at nowadays?
I mean, to be honest, everything I do, to me, I think is I keep it underground.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I was talking to my boy the other day, actually, and he's like, yo, dog, what mic you going to? I was like, it's about to be an underground mic or whatever the fuck it is. Uh-huh. So I always work just to keep the tool sharp. You know, as they say, you know, got the toolbox. So I want to keep this sharp, you know, and maybe I just want to see like what people think of that. So now I think of myself more like being doing it for a certain time and getting bored and unlocking different levels. I do it in a different way now. Uh-huh. It's, like, more I talk about shit, and I really want to have some shit for people to think about. You know, even if it's silly as fuck, you know, I perform it in a different way. And right. I kind of really don't give a fuck about the glitz and all that shit. Yeah. Like, I don't need to be on a Tonight Show for niggas to know I'm ill. You know what I'm saying? Because if, you know, people in comedy, when they see me around, some people know who I mean. They know that, you know, all right, this nigga was killing it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. He still got that mind. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I feel like my gift is being able to creativity, period. Being able to, like, you know, be out of the box. Just, and like I said, because of all the stuff that I am aware of. You know what I'm saying? When I was younger, like, my mom, she was down with Syndicate, Ice-T Syndicate.
Okay.
So, you know, she used to have to take me with her most of the time. If my dad wasn't around or whatever, you know, the places she could take me.
Uh-huh.
So, when I was a kid, we were chilling with, you know, for me, he was just Kaz. But as I got older, I knew he was Grandmaster Kaz.
Oh, wow.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, all these kind of experiences like that, like, it's like I had them at young and you know, had a gift to absorb these different things.
Yeah. Like, so let's speak on that. It's funny that you bring up Grandmaster Kaz, because, like, I'll be the first to admit I'm not, like, super familiar with your whole catalog.
Right.
I've peeped about probably 5 or 6 of your YouTube videos from start to finish.
Right.
And that was kind of one of the things that I noticed. I was like, oh, this sounds like fucking a dope, like, late 80s rapper over, like, weird Mad Lib type productions.
Yeah.
I was like, it felt like, you know, big inspirations are probably fools like Kaz, fools like Rakim. You know what I mean? Big Daddy Kane. Is that shit that you grew up listening to?
Oh, I mean, of course, because my mom, whatever tapes she had, I would listen to whatever fucking Chubb Rock and Sir Mix-a-Lot. Of course, all the female MCs, Queen Latifah, the MC Light, all that shit.
Yeah.
And that's what I feel like when is the difference when I'm performing. I feel like it's the aura and the heart of a MC probably from that time.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
and that's what it feels like to me when I listen. If you close your eyes, it's like, it's not even the kind of the distortion on the mic and shit. It sounds like it has that late 80s vibe to it, you know?
And it's not like, I think that came out of too, like, when I started doing tapes a while back, even before, like, when it was just the homies that just had the tapes before I actually started putting it out for people to get, it was kind of on that feeling like, you know, in the 80s, UTFO was just the niggas in apartment 3B.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yo, this is the homie's tape. And, like, check this out. And niggas was putting on the boombox. And then they pass it through the box. And that's how somebody heard about that shit. Like, yo, you heard this kid, such and such? Oh, yeah, he's over in the park. And, like, and it's a dude you could talk to. And you could see around your town. And, like very natural and rooted and connected to the community of people, you know? And I always felt like that type of dude, you know what I mean? And that's probably why I can't fuck with that shiny type vibe, you know what I mean?
What were your earliest attempts at recording rap? Did comedy come before rap?
That's an interesting question because I don't know. My mom says I was always a funny kid.
Yeah.
Like her story that she tells, she says, I knew that you were just funny because one time I made you some like corn on the cob when you was a kid, and you said, "Mom, the corn is stiff." And then she was like, I said, "What do you mean stiff?" And I was like, "Stiff, like this." And I just like
struck a pose
like for a minute though. Yeah. And it's like, she's like, "This kid is weird."
Oh, man.
You know what I mean? Yeah, so yeah. Like, I mean, I guess it's always there because yeah. Even in raps, like I'm not trying to spit a funny rap.
Yeah.
But maybe how I'm saying something to you,
comes
the lines might be funny, like
right.
Because of the way I'm saying it or the words that's used.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, but when you hear me actually doing it, it's like with that ha 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 vibe.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because it's all like chest and heart raps.
Right,
like,
right, right.
That's how the performance yeah. is. But like, maybe like.
So what I'm asking, I guess, is like, at what age were you starting to record raps? Have you been doing it a long time?
I mean,
is it a new phenomenon?
I think in junior high was the
first. Oh, really?
Yeah, junior high was the first tape I ever did. Like
yeah.
me and.
Yeah, same. I made my first tape in seventh, or my first attempt to record a rap in seventh grade.
Right. Yeah. It was like me and the homies, like yeah. on the summer break, just fucking around.
With like a. Was it like on a tape recorder?
It was like this. It was like sort of like a karaoke type
thing.
Oh,
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And yeah, I think we just made like a whole, like two side tape.
Damn.
Like in like a, probably like a night.
Yeah.
Because like, just fucking around, like. You know, just off the top of the head, mm-hmm. random shit, mm-hmm. like weird, really weird ass songs and beats.
Yeah.
And I would always write stuff down that I just, you know, just came to me. You know,
yeah.
how raps just come to you out of
right,
nowhere. You're
right.
like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
In high school, me and my boy, he got this kind of this keyboard that he used to make beats on.
Yeah.
And so I would be in class and I would be like, write some shit, some kind of verse about whatever. And then I would slide it over to him, like, yo, peep this verse. And he'll be like, oh, yeah, yeah. He'll go home to the house. He'll make a beat. He'll call me up. I would, he'll play the beat. I'll put the mic into the ear part of the phone and record. And then I would rap into the mouthpiece. And then, like, if he was going to do some ad-libs behind my shit, he'd be like, yeah, you know, like, and we'll record it like that.
Yeah.
And it sounded pretty good recording through the phone like that.
No shit.
And we, like, did a whole tape like that. I
yeah.
wish I knew where that fucking tape was at.
Yeah.
Like, it was, like, we were doing dub overs and shit, too.
Wow.
Like, and I don't even know if I really knew what I was doing, but this is too, like, when we recorded over the top of tapes, you know, in the top of tapes, they have two open little squares on the top.
Yeah.
And that means that's so you can't record
over it. Right.
But I would
you
stuff
pop
paper.
Them out.
I would put paper in it so
yeah.
I could record over whatever tape it was.
Right,
you know?
Right,
like,
right.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, I feel like, so then when I started putting out tapes,
yeah,
it was because I read some quote one time that just stuck in my head about, like, do all the things that, you know, you had fun do it the way you had fun doing it.
Okay.
Whatever it is.
So that's where the tape aesthetic comes from these
yeah.
days.
It's just mad fun like that. And
yeah.
and you, like, you can't get that energy the same way doing it, you know, in a studio. Exactly. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because, like, there's some random shit that happens when I'm recording that, like, I don't even know is going to happen. But, and then I listen back and I'm like, oh, that part was fucked up. But damn, that shit sound tight though.
Right, right, right.
You know what I mean?
The perfection is in the imperfection.
Yeah, like I've never been too, like, perfect. Like,
when
that.
Did the Koreatown Oddity nom de plume come about?
Oh, the name?
Yeah.
I think it was, I had,
like, how long has that personality been in focus?
I think for a little bit, not super long, maybe like 6 years, something mm-hmm. like that. The name, actually, because I remember I wrote a verse, like a song, where, and it's people know I'm the Koreatown Oddity, distributing creativity. Quite honestly, I want to see my name on the Will Turn Theater marquee with the neon glow from across the street.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I remember when I had did this verse, I was like, you know, I had all these kind of names or
yeah.
whatever, but when I said that in a verse and I listened back to the verse, I was like, oh shit. Yeah, I am the Koreatown Oddity.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
wow, like. And then that was it. I was like, oh, I'm going to use that shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, And it just fit. All
right. And it seems like things are like quietly starting to bubble right now. Like I've been hearing your name around a lot more this year than I have before.
Right, right.
And so I think I noticed you, I'd seen your name around a couple times on the internet, and then I saw the Boiler Room session with like all you guys. And like Azizi.
Yeah, Jeremiah J. Zero,
who I had on the podcast.
Oh, okay.
Mike Eagle was there.
Oh, yep, yep. Yeah. He just randomly popped up.
Yeah.
Giovanni popped up.
Subtitle. Oh, yeah. Subtitle, yep. Shout out to Gino. Yeah, so like how did you meet all those guys and start running with them?
I actually met all of them that day. The only person I knew before then was Gino. Like I know Gino since I was in high school.
Oh, really?
Because he's older than me, but like I went to Fairfax High.
Yeah.
So like I was saying, that's how I know Swift.
Oh, yeah. Because when he says he knows Swift, randomly last night at Low End Theory, I ran into you and I was talking to Swift, who I've known for years.
Right.
And he's asking me what I'm up to because I haven't seen him in like a year. And I said, oh, I'm just doing this podcast. And you said, wait, what's your name?
Yeah,
and I'm
Lee. Yeah.
And you're like, oh shit, I'm Dominique. Right. I'm going to be your guest tomorrow. Right. I said, oh shit. That was small world shit.
Yeah, crazy.
Yeah, yeah. So you knew Gino from high school.
Yeah, Gino, he's, I met him on Merrill's and through Workman's. And then there was a shop.
And he was working at Amoeba and shit. He's
right.
Like,
yeah, yeah. And there was a shop that, man, I don't know. A lot of people probably don't remember this shop, but it was there probably, I don't know, maybe, I want to say a year. Yeah. I don't remember the exact time. It was a short period of time, but it was called 24/7.
Uh-huh.
And it was like, you know, a couple stores down. It was like next to a Tops, which was kind of like a Johnny Rockets.
Right, right.
It was a like Jamba Juice, Tops, and 24/7.
Yeah.
And Mir did this crazy ass piece in there.
Uh-huh.
And, we actually, me and my homie actually got to work there in high school, you know, like a couple of days a week.
Uh-huh.
But Gino used to work in there, too. That's when I really started to know him even more.
Okay.
And so I've been knowing Gino for a cool minute. He's seen me grow up, basically. You know, like.
So you met those folks through Gino, and they just invited you to the Boiler Room session?
No, I didn't meet none of those guys through Gino.
Oh, okay.
But Gino's the only person I knew there.
There.
Yeah, and beforehand, you know, and... actually, Sophie hooked that up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and she was like, yo, you want to do this shit? And I was like, yeah, why not?
Yeah, that's tight. And so have things been starting to crack a little bit since then?
I mean, yeah, I kind of felt like even before then, like, ghostly-wise, they have, like, people didn't know, like, but, you know, I may have been fucking with this cat and this cat, but people just didn't know.
Yeah.
I feel like the Boiler Room thing... Like, if anybody was like, who the fuck is this nigga? Like, when they met me and I'm like, yo, I'm such and such. And I gave them my tape or some shit.
Mm-hmm.
When they saw the Boiler Room thing, they probably were like, oh,
yeah,
yo, this nigga's really out here doing this shit.
Right,
so,
right.
I mean, that definitely was like, you know, made a lot of shit crack for sure.
Right. Like, I've been down on the LA scene now for a while. Like, I feel like I've been running around in these circles for like probably 8 or 9 years, I guess.
I've never
seen you at shows and stuff or like playing shows. Like, do you just not bother playing shows or what's the.
Oh, no. I definitely, matter of fact, I'll be doing a show Sunday.
Where at?
At One Eye Gypsy.
Okay.
And that's going to be, I think, Peabody's going to be spinning there. Uh-huh. There's going to be a few other producers.
Yeah.
Juge, Durazo Beats.
Yeah.
Juge
is tight.
Fresh Kills. Actually, funny thing about Juge is that I was working on this thing. I got this project I was doing. I got these stack of 45s from my pops that I was doing this little project, right?
Yeah.
And my MPC, a couple of buttons, like, got fucked up.
Uh-huh.
So I asked my homegirl, Liana, I was like, it's like, man, you know anybody who could fucking loan me an NPC?
Yeah.
So she hit him up, asked him if he had one. He did. He didn't even know me at the time. And, you know, maybe he had heard of me.
Yeah.
And he loaned me his 1,000 for like a week or two.
Uh-huh.
So I could finish up some shit I was doing.
Nice.
So he's mad cool. Just just off the strength. So
yeah. He's probably what, My Hollow Drum, right?
Who, a Juge?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I don't think so. I know he's down with We Did It.
Oh yeah, We Did It.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I feel like Tully put me onto him a while ago, and I thought maybe he was part of My Hollow Drum. I could be completely fucking wrong. I get crews mixed up.
Some crews cross.
Yeah. You know exactly. Saying? Exactly. There's like some crossover.
But yeah, I've always been I remember.
Explain the aesthetic right now. Like, you put stuff out on tapes, right? Like, you give people tapes.
Yeah. Like, for a minute, I've been doing that too. In which, you know, I feel like that has made it even grow. Like, the tape hip hop tapes because
it's becoming a thing again.
Yeah, because like I don't know when I was doing it, like I wasn't on the internet.
Yeah,
I didn't have shit on the internet.
When did you decide to start putting stuff on the internet?
I don't know, like I think it's fairly recent, a couple years, maybe even a year. Yeah. I don't even know, but like mostly people would just it'll be hand in hand, and then like for a while it was like. I wasn't even on the internet. Just yeah. me personally, I was on it. I probably didn't have a Twitter until maybe like 2-3 years ago or something like that.
Yeah.
So like, so all this shit, like even videos and shit, because I'd actually just do videos for some people too, like Self Jupiter and fucking Subtitle and a couple of homies, Trent Truce.
Were you like film their videos and stuff? You mean?
Yeah, yeah. Because I chop shit with VHS.
Okay.
And that's some shit I used to do like in high school. So all this stuff I was doing, it was like, there was no YouTube then. There
and
was
it's funny because now all that stuff is making a big comeback.
Right.
Like,
and
everybody wants a VHS video.
Right. And now like the VHS people kind of like even played it out now, like to the point where people were like, but like I still fuck with it because, you know, I always think that even if somebody bites some shit, you know, you can always taste what the cook is making, but you can't be the cook.
Right.
You know what
right,
I mean? Like,
right.
So, but, yeah, the tapes, like, it's been like for a minute, like just passing it around to people. Like I would be at a show and I might be like, I might see Peanut Butter Wolf. Mm-hmm. And I'd be like, yo, peep this tape. You know what I'm saying? I might see, you know, fucking AC Alone, yo, is this tape, you know what I'm saying? So just for a long time, just like that, you know, so then people would see me and know me like that.
Mm-hmm.
But like even before I would like give tapes to people, man, I remember we used to go to Low End Theory shit back in the day when you have to go on the balcony and the main show was
outside on the
porch. On the stage.
Yeah.
That was the shit right there. And they just had a random DJ.
Yeah,
like,
it was way tighter before the fire.
Man.
Or, not that it's not tight now.
It's mad tight.
No shots. I still love Low
End
Theory.
It's bigger now.
It is. Yeah. And it's, but there was a time, yeah, like particularly the Beat Invitationals or shit like that, like when they would have it on the back, like patio.
That was the shit.
Before the fire department cracked down. Like,
I remember
when
the first time I seen Gas Lamp outside like that. That shit was crazy. Like,
absolutely. What are you working on now?
I got
Like, do you put together things in like album form, or is it just kind of like whatever you're making at the time, put it on a tape and fucking whatever?
Oh yeah, definitely. Like everything is like a concept, you know.
Yeah.
I feel like I can't put it out any other way. Like
yeah.
That. Like the first tape I did was I would call that one kind of like a variety show because it had beats and then I had like homies rap on some beats. Then I rapped on some and then like a random skit where a homie just talking about some shit. And then the second thing I put out was just straight beats. And then
because you make your own beats.
Yeah. I started making beats maybe like 22,
23.
OK. Because first I was just an MC.
Yeah.
And then, like, I kind of, you know, had a falling out with a homie that made all my shit.
Uh-huh.
And I was just like, well, I could start going to get beats from people, or I could use this time to, like work on my own shit. Because I already was kind of, like, going there mentally.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So the third tape that I put out was actually with this label, Architects and Heroes. It came out on a Chinese New Year. I'm, like, a big Chinese New Year dude. And it was Exit the Dragon's Mouth because we left the, you know, dragon and now we're in the snake.
Mm-hmm.
And that one was all beats too, but kind of like with that theme of, you know, Exit the Dragon's Mouth. And and then the last one I put out in April was the No Health Insurance, which that one was just a straight rap album. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so next up is another rap one, which is like I was telling you about the 45s, the shit I pop. It's just only from my pops collection, like shit I chopped up from his shit and like that I spit over. It's gonna be kind of like how when niggas have a beat tape, but like a rap tape.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I thought that would be kind of
interesting. Well, like just kind of like short, like minute
like
and a half songs.
Like maybe some shit is like unfinished. Maybe I might even like be rapping and you be like, ah.
Never mind.
And it goes to the other song or some shit like that.
That's cool. That's a cool concept.
Yeah.
Do you ever worry like the tape thing will there's a ceiling to it? Like, do you ever think about like, oh, I should press some CDs or?
I mean, you know, I never thought about pressing CDs. I mean, I always...
At this point, CDs are almost fucking dated as well. Yeah. Like, I mean, like, iTunes is the route. I mean, I'll still buy... Bandcamp is the route.
I'll still buy everything. Like,
really?
I'll buy CDs, tapes, and records.
You're a better person than me.
You know what I'm saying? Because, see, like, you know, when I get the new shit, like, whatever it is, like...
You know, the last actual album I bought was like the last like UGK record.
I think that was a CD?
The last CD that I actually bought. I think that was like in 2008.
I bought something.
And you got to understand, I was that dude that was buying fucking 3 or 4 CDs every Tuesday. I had an extensive CD collection. And now they're just sitting there collecting dust. And I'm like, I thought about selling them because I have it all backed up on an iPod. But I'm like,
I remember we used to, after school, in high school, we used to go down to the warehouse. Used to walk down to the warehouse. I remember hearing Pharoah Monch on the radio. I had never heard of him. And then, like, the next day, it was like he was saying it was coming out after school. I remember getting that shit. That shit was the illest shit. The Internal Affairs shit.
Yeah, Pharoah Monch was...
Woo! This was hot.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I still buy CD. I think I'm trying to think what's the last CD I bought. This is probably not the last CD, but I bought the Rock Marciano Reloaded CD.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You get the CD just because I'm like, I want to hear the shit right now.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And
I'm a downloader. I'm not gonna lie.
I can't get into it.
I will bootleg your shit.
only time. I don't think I've ever downloaded anything. The only time I have downloaded some shit is if it wasn't available in any other source.
Right.
Like when Danny Brown came out the Hybrid. Right?
Oh yeah, yeah.
I was mad. I was like, dog, when you gonna come out with the CD?
Right.
He's like, nah, it's digital.
Yeah.
Like, fuck you. Yeah. I guess I'll download it.
Right.
Because I don't know. I'll listen to albums on the computer and then go pick it up.
Right.
That's what I do. Because I like, you know, I guess I'm an old school nigga.
Collector.
I like to go in the store, you know, smell the store, you know, like touch shit, look at people, you know what I'm saying, have a conversation with the dude that he's saying, nah, I ain't feeling this. And
right.
I like to do that whole experience. And of course,
I don't know what it is, but for some reason, when I go into like record stores and bookstores nowadays, I get like minor anxiety attacks where I'm like, it's like so much, dude. I start sweating and shit. And I'm
it's a lot of shit.
It's a lot, dude.
Especially if you're going to Amoeba.
Amoeba, to like thoroughly go through that place would take days.
Niggas is like the Costco.
I just don't even know what to start at when I'm there. Like, so I'm just like, never mind. I just take my friends from out of town to there to show them.
I kind
of
like, I guess I go in there with what I'm going to do. Like, I always go to the hip hop section when I go there. First thing I do, especially if I haven't been there in a minute, I'll go to the hip hop section, just see what's in the new release and shit. Like, oh yeah, I forgot that came out.
Right.
All right. Oh man, I'll cop this. I'll get a CD. And then after that, I'll just split from CDs and then just go to records because I'm always going to be digging for records. So then that kind of focuses me anywhere. I'm like, it doesn't really matter where I go, but I'm just getting records.
Whatever,
you know, I'll just, what's hot. I mean, oh, this shit looks dope.
Yeah.
You know, maybe come out with a few, you know.
Right.
So that's how I kind of keep, I think that's another reason what keeps me in the store is that I want to get the record.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So when is the beat tape style rap mix coming out?
I mean, hopefully, the end of August.
Oh, so soon.
Yeah.
You're like wrapping it up already.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, latest, early September.
Yeah.
But there's also, too, like an album towards the in December.
Yeah.
That's going to come out, which like this album, this Pops 45 will be something that kind of make people say, you know, hear more raps and shit and, you know, hear the different styles of shit I'm doing.
Yeah.
And then the one in December, I think that's going to fuck people's heads up because it's like, you know, a lot of like guests like that's fucking with it. So
like who? Can you give any away?
I mean, I don't even want to.
Yeah.
You know, I totally could.
Yeah.
But like I want people to like see the whole thing. It's like concept.
Well, you can tell me.
Like,
you can tell me off air.
Oh, yeah. Right. Okay.
So
yeah.
You do put them online though as well, right?
Yeah. I always like, now what I do is I take the tape when I finish it.
Record it.
And put it on a CD just so I can have it for my own log.
Yeah.
And then
rip it to the internet.
And then I can post it up.
Where can people find those?
The No Health Insurance one, that's on my Bandcamp.
What's your Bandcamp?
KoreatownOddity.bandcamp.com? Yeah.
Okay.
And then there's a Exit Through the Dragon's Mouth, the instrumental. That is probably on the Architects and Heroes Bandcamp.
Yeah.
And then the first two tapes, which I don't have any more of those out of print, yeah. They're just only on my SoundCloud.
What's your SoundCloud?
Koreatown Odyssey. Yeah.
So search for Koreatown Odyssey. And then what is your Twitter?
You could type in Koreatown Odyssey probably, but it's at Dominique Purdy.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think I just typed in Koreatown Odyssey.
It pops up. Yeah.
Not that hard to find. Yeah. YouTube, I mean, he's got some interesting videos out there rapping in fucking park benches and public and stuff like that.
Yeah, I wanted to do more of that shit.
Yeah, it's some strange shit, but I dug it, and I'm glad that I got to meet you and come and talk to you.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, most definitely. So, yeah, guys, be on the lookout for Koreatown Oddity. I feel like he's somebody that you're going to be hearing more of very soon. And so, man, I appreciate you coming in.
Oh, no doubt.
My name is Lee. Some of you guys might know me as Intuition. You can find me on Twitter at It's Intuition. My man Ben Shim, suffering through the heat behind the boards, is at I Am Database. Thank you for making it sound buttery.
Thank you.
You can find us as a unit at That's Kinda Neat, and you can find the performance that we're going to have Koreatown Oddity do on youtube.com/That's Kinda Neat. New episode every Wednesday. Even if there's not a video, there is a podcast. So go to kindaneat.net and keep up with us. Thank you guys for tuning in. This was Kinda Neat. That's it.
Hey, that's rough.
Right.